Hey, St. Louis, how would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
It was a dramatic scene in Austin as Democratic State Senator Wendy Davis waged an 11-hour filibuster to try to block the Texas legislature from passing a stringent bill banning abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy. But as the lawmakers raced against a midnight deadline, all the cable news networks went into taped programming, abandoning the story. So what did people do? Many flocked to Twitter and to YouTube, and more than 100,000 watched a live stream online provided by the Texas Tribune. As for Wendy Davis, well, much of the media treated her as a heroine for blocking the bill. Front page Washington Post profile called her a star and hailed her tenacity. The New York Times praised her stamina and conviction, and she made the television rounds.
By the time it was over, a lot of people knew the name Wendy Davis.
A reminder of the movie Mr. Smith and that exhausting filibuster.
No leaning, no eating, no going to the bathroom for 11 straight hours. How did you do it physically? How tough was it?
But did you think you could stop it by this filibuster, or did you just simply want to make a very powerful statement?
An impressive physical feat, no question. But I have to ask, if Wendy Davis had been conducting a lonely filibuster against abortion rights, would the media have celebrated her in quite the same way?
That's a media critic, Howard Kurtz, speaking over the weekend on CNN's Reliable Sources. He raises a good question. Had she been filibustering against abortion, what would the media have done? What has the media done in the meantime with Wendy Davis, the Texas senator, who effectively single-handedly killed a bill that would have banned late-term abortions in that state? Joining us to talk about this and the media coverage, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, a reporter in Washington, D.C., and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, welcome back.
It's great to be here.
What question has the media yet to ask Wendy Davis?
There have been many interviews of Wendy Davis on all of the big cable outlets and the national networks. She's a huge media star, and no one has quite gotten around to asking her any questions about abortion. We've gotten quite a few questions about her shoes. I mean, dozens upon dozens upon dozens of questions about her shoes and about her stamina and how amazing she is and how wonderful she is, and sort of all these questions assume the justice of her cause. No one's gotten around to asking any questions about late-term abortion or whether abortion clinics should meet the same standards as other ambulatory surgery centers or anything at all dealing with the bill itself.
I think it's arguable that the connection, at least the political connection between Kermit Gosnell, the verdict in that case in Philadelphia of the abortionist slash murderer, had something to do, at least in the political sense, with the Texas bill that Wendy Davis killed with her filibuster.
Okay, well, and I just want to point out, she did kill it in that one session with her, it wasn't even her filibuster so much as the protests from the gallery were what killed that bill during that session, but it'll likely be passed here. So it was just sort of a short-term victory on her part. I don't think it'll be necessarily a long-term one, but these are the types of regulations that pro-life activists have tried to get passed for a very long time with varying degrees of success. I mean, there are many states where these types of limitations are in place and protections for unborn children are in place, and many states where there aren't. It is undoubtedly true that the Kermit Gosnell situation added some sort of political movement to a lot of these efforts, and the media, you'll recall, had trouble covering that, and they downright said they didn't think there were any policy implications to the Gosnell abortion clinic. Now they seem kind of surprised that there are, in fact, quite a few major policy implications. I mean, there was a national vote at the congressional level to limit abortion on children who had made it to 5 months gestation. Here you have the same thing in Texas, plus regulations on abortion clinics, you know, requiring abortion doctors to have hospital privileges, all sorts of these policy implications that arise kind of directly from the Gosnell report, where certain particular problems that were allowed to fester because of the Pennsylvania abortion regulation regime. You have these efforts to try and sort of challenge that type of approach to abortion regulation, and the media are just, they have no idea what they're doing, and they're doing a horrible job covering it.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is our guest. She's a reporter in Washington, D.C., and a contributor to GetReligion.org. When we come back from this break, we're going to spend more time with her. You know, the media bias that we're talking about here shows itself not so much in what is being said about Wendy Davis or the bill that she temporarily killed, but what they don't say about it. We'll examine that a little more. Just simple questions that anyone ought to be asking. That's all that we're asking the media to do here. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Can God save people any way he wants? Is Jesus the only way we know of? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, "What God Cannot Do." You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor John Frazier details his journey from the subjective introspection of decision theology to the objective saving work of Jesus. The online Issues Etc. journal. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July. It's a new one from Concordia Publishing House. It's called Divine Kingdom, Holy Order, The Political Writings of Martin Luther. Of course, he's known for his theological writings, but really when he takes up the subject of the political order, the civil realm, he does it in a very clear scriptural framework. Luther's teaching of the two kingdoms, those things that a lot of people, when they first hear it, say, "I never thought of how God rules the world in two different ways, through two different means, toward the same end." And when hearing this kind of political thought, some people have their eyes open. Often, what is said about Luther and his political thought is that it led to disaster, like German totalitarianism. Is that true? You'll find out in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Divine Kingdom, Holy Order, The Political Writings of Martin Luther. Order it for yourself, 1-800-325-3040. Call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of an abortion filibuster in the Texas Senate. Molly, I said before the break that this media bias often shows itself in not in what is said by members of the media, but what isn't asked, the very kind of things that aren't examined. You use an example of Jeff Zeleny, ABC News senior Washington correspondent, who promised big things. What did he deliver when he got a chance to talk with the senator?
He told told his Twitter followers that there was a substantive interview that he had with Wendy Davis. And when it aired on Sunday morning, it was an edited interview, and there were six questions, precisely none of which were substantive. And then he proudly released an extended cut today with all 18 questions he asked. And none of the 18 had anything to do with abortion, which is actually what the legislation that Texas is considering deals with. But three of his questions dealt with her shoes. Three of them dealt with the catheter that she wore to help her with her filibuster. And again, zero had anything to do with abortion.
So even the extended version didn't have the substance he promised his Twitter followers?
Right. The extended, more substantive version that had more detailed questions like, were those shoes pink? And I'm not joking. Those are really the questions. And it's just fascinating because we have a country that is, of course, very divided on abortion. There's relatively small percentages on either side who either think that there should be no restrictions on abortion, whether you're killing a child because of she's the wrong sex or because of any reason at all. And then you have the other extreme where people think you should never have an abortion, even if the mother's raped or whatnot. And then you have this, like, large, mushy middle, and it would be a really great time to sort of talk about some of those issues that the vast majority of Americans are kind of muddled on. This is great legislation to explore that, because whereas most of the country reports that they don't think there should be restrictions on abortion in the first trimester, the opposite is the case when it comes to the second or third trimester. For years that it's been polled, people actually are very supportive of protecting children who have made it to the second trimester or the third trimester. Well, this is a bill that deals with just that. It would limit abortions on children who had made it to 5 months gestation or more. That's a great thing for the media to talk about, because this is precisely where Americans show some openness to a different way of handling our abortion laws. There are international implications. You know, most of Europe, of course, doesn't permit abortions after the first trimester. And yet here in Texas, we're supposed to believe that, the big bad people are keeping the women down because this would limit abortion at 20 weeks or whatnot. So the way the media has framed this is just, it's sad, because there are actually very interesting stories we could talk about where the vast majority of Americans are kind of, again, in that mushy middle, but instead we're literally talking about shoes and catheters, and it's a travesty, journalistically speaking.
Zeleny, I'll repeat, ABC News senior correspondent for Washington. That's not a slouch position. That's not an inexperienced position. I imagine he went to a really good J school, and he probably comes with some tremendous references for that job. Why does this happen?
I don't know. I mean, and I was just thinking about this too, because his questions were very similar to questions that other people had asked Wendy Davis already. It's one thing for there to be one softball interview with stupid questions about shoes. It's entirely another when every single interview out there has the same silly, anodyne questions that don't do anything to help a public learn more about the particular legislation or what the underlying battle is between, the fight for abortion rights and the right to life of unborn children. I truly don't understand it. And I know all those things. Everybody else knows that most people in the media, are pro-choice and that they're more liberal. But still, Jeff is not a bad journalist, but he sure pretended to be one this week. It's very shameful.
That's kind of my question here, is journalists have a certain personal motivation in wanting to ask a difficult question, even if someone who's a media darling. In fact, that's a great opportunity to ask a difficult question, because it brings the journalist a little bit of notoriety. And I simply cannot fathom why someone doesn't say, what are your views on abortion? Why did you stand up there for that filibuster? What were you fighting for? I mean, simple questions.
And just by way of comparison, there would have been easy follow-ups. You can even ask these very nice questions in your softball interview. But the subject said that she thought that her views were moderate and that the people who wanted to pass this legislation were extreme. Well, even in Texas, even in the country at large, but particularly in Texas, limiting abortion on children who had made it to 5 months or more is extremely popular. So 62% of Texans report that they're all for that. And only 30% said they didn't think that. So who's actually the extreme there. And if you just knew basic polling data, or if you'd been following abortion polls, you know, in general for the last few decades, you would know that, and you could ask the follow-up, like, well, wait a minute, you say you're the moderate, but actually your views are, you know, in the minority here. Just to even needle a little bit would have been better than this puffball, softball interview.
One more question for you. There was a tremendous question asked by a reporter from the Weekly Standard of Nancy Pelosi several weeks ago about the moral equivalence between Kermit Gosnell and late-term abortions. Is that the very kind of question we're talking about that a journalist, an enterprising journalist, might ask Wendy Davis? About 1 minute.
Well, again, you know, this is exactly the same thing we see on the other side. Every single pro-life person out there has to answer every single question about why they don't think that abortion should be allowed in cases of rape or whatnot. Well, we have some politicians who are at the far extreme of the other end, and they're never asked any questions like that. Yes, of course you ask people who think there should be no limitations on abortion, including late-term abortion, what the moral distinction is between what we just put Kermit Gosnell in jail for and what they support. That's something they have probably thought through themselves. They probably have an answer, and we don't even know what the answer is. And, I mean, not that that reporter didn't ask Pelosi. She was a train wreck in her answer, but, you know, maybe given some more reporters asking her that question, she can have a more coherent answer. But it would be nice to have all the politicians who are on her side give some answers so that the public can learn more about that perspective and make more educated decisions in their votes and in their thinking about abortion in general. That's the job of a reporter, not to favor one side in such an embarrassing fashion. So hopefully we'll see some improvements along the way.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a reporter in Washington, D.C. and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk with Elliot Miller of the Christian Research Journal about the teaching of yoga in public schools. Folks, if you appreciate our weekly interviews with our friends at Get Religion on media coverage of religion, please consider making a donation to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Any size gift is deeply appreciated, especially during these difficult summer months. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind during the challenging summer months. Just a simple question. One would open the door for maybe another question, but just a simple question of those who fight so hard, who work so diligently, who spend so much time, who are willing to stand 11 hours without interruption in the well of a Senate in order to at least temporarily defeat a bill against late-term abortion. Just a simple question is all that is needed. What are you supporting? What are you fighting against? Why is abortion this important to you? What do you think actually happens in a late-term abortion? Do you know? Can you explain it to me? Simple, factual questions. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Did Martin Luther's political writings lead to the freedom of conscience, the separation of church and state, and German totalitarianism? Divine Kingdom, Holy Order, The Political Writings of Martin Luther, is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Divine Kingdom, Holy Order by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Divine Kingdom, Holy Order, The Political Writings of Martin Luther.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the divine service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.